Mark chapter 4, verse number 14. If you have a red letter edition, you see these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you that we have this opportunity to be here. Thank you for all those that are present. And Lord, as it's already been prayed, I know there's people who would love to be here today that are not able. We pray for them. We ask you to help them and bless them. And Lord, if it's your will, we pray you'd raise them up to where they can come back and be with us real soon. Lord, I pray for all of the prayer requests that have been mentioned today. And I pray now that as I stand to preach, that you would please give me liberty, clarity of thought and speech, that I can say the things that you want said. And I pray, Father, that you'd help all of us this morning in our minds to be free from distraction. Help us, as I pray so often, to be able to focus our attention on the Word of God, to just be able to put aside the cares of this world for a while and focus on your Word and what you have for us. And Lord, I pray that we'd receive it into our hearts, that we would apply it to our lives. And Lord, when we leave here today, I pray all of us can say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Last Sunday, I started preaching a message titled "The Three Essentials." The Three Essentials. The text for this message is the parable of the sower, which is recorded in three of the four Gospels. You find it in Matthew 13, Luke chapter 8, and right here in Mark chapter 4. And as I mentioned last week, this parable, which was told by the Lord Jesus to a great multitude gathered by the seaside, has three main components. You have the sower, the seed, and the soils. And again, as I mentioned last week, all three of these are absolutely essential. They are all necessary for harvest. If you leave out any one of the three, you will not have a harvest. To have a harvest, you have to have a sower, you have to have seed, and you have to have soils. And in this parable, the sower represents the spreader of the seed. The seed represents the Word of God. If you look here once again at Mark chapter 4 and verse number 14, you'll notice there Jesus says, "The sower soweth the Word." So the sower represents the spreader, the seed is the Word of God, and the soils represent the different people that are contacted by the seed. Now, last Sunday, I dealt with the first of these three essentials. I talked about the sower. And I tried to express to you that it is the responsibility of all Christians, not just preachers and pastors like myself and evangelists and missionaries and lay speakers and so forth, but the responsibility of all true born-again Christians to be seed spreaders. That is our God-given responsibility. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Paul said that we have all been given the ministry of reconciliation. So all of us as saved people are responsible for spreading the seed. But what I want to do this morning is try to finish up this message. I'm going to put a valiant effort into it anyway. And I want to deal with the other two of these three essentials. And I'm going to talk first of all this morning about the seed. Already talked about the sower. I want to talk for a few minutes this morning about the seed. And again, the seed, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Word of God. That's what you read here in verse number 14. Whenever you go over to Luke chapter 8 and you read Luke's account of this parable, you see that Jesus said it very plainly. He said, the seed is the Word of God. So you and I as sowers are to be spreading or sowing the seed of God's word. We're not to be spreading man's word or man's ideologies or man's opinions or man's political agendas or man's religions or man's preferences. We are to be spreading the seed of God's word. That is the responsibility we all have as saved people. It is perfectly all right for you to have an opinion as long as your opinion is in line with the Bible. If your opinion does not line up with the Bible, then your opinion isn't worth 2 cents, okay? So I don't need to go around spreading my opinion or anything. The Word of God is what I need to concentrate on. That is what I need to focus on as a seed spreader, getting out the Word of God. And thankfully, you and I have the Word of God. Right here in the King James Bible, that's where we have the Word of God. I know some people don't agree with that. There's a whole lot of people in this county, in fact, that don't agree with it. I bet you couldn't find 10 churches in the whole county that still stand with the King James Bible. People have asked me through the years, does that bother me? Not one bit does it bother me. I believe what I believe. I'm not ashamed of what I believe, and I certainly don't apologize for what I believe on that issue. And be glad to sit down with anybody that cares and explain to them why I believe what I believe. The thing that bothers me is not that somebody disagrees with me. The problem is people that disagree and they're ignorant. That's what bothers me. People are ignorant of the truth and they won't take the time to sit down and let you explain to them. They just go around being critical of you. You know what that is? That's just a full-fledged ignoramus is what that is. When you are afraid to sit down and hear the other side and let somebody explain the truth to you, you are an arrogant ignoramus is what you are. And this county and this whole country is filled with them. But I'll tell you, this pulpit ain't filled with one. I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. That's what I believe. And that, I'm thankful, we have this morning. We have the seed of God's Word. This seed that we have is pure. It's pure. The Bible says every word of God is pure. Every word of God. That's one reason, by the way, why the Lord Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, because every word of God is pure. The Bible says in Psalm 12 that the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. One of the great things about the Bible is it's completely undefiled. There is nothing impure or dirty or nasty or bad about the Bible. That is a great thing about the Bible. One reason why we ought to read the Bible, why we ought to study the Bible and fill our minds and our heart with the Bible is because there's nothing dirty and nasty in the Bible. You know why some people don't want to read the Bible? Because it isn't nasty and dirty. We have people all over, it's like the nastier the better. They don't want to go see a good Christian movie, they want to see some nasty movie. They don't want to read a good Christian book. They want to read a nasty book. They don't want to look at good, clean pictures. They want to look at nasty pictures and pornography and all that kind of mess because that's nasty and defiling. But the great thing is I can open my Bible anytime, day or night, anywhere, and never have to worry about my mind or my heart or my spirit being defiled. I can always read the pure Word of God. This seed is pure. This seed is also preserved, by the way. It's preserved. That's why we have it. I said, I'm thankful we have it. Why do we have it? You know why we have the Word of God? Because the Lord gave it to us and He has preserved it for us. You need to keep that in mind. Preservation doesn't depend on man. I have heard liberals till I am just sick of it. I mean just gag a maggot sick of it. You know what I'm talking about? Liberals all, and I'm not talking about liberals out in the world. I'm talking about liberals in religion and in Christianity that constantly attack the Bible and say we can't have a perfect copy of the Scripture today because sinful man has lost something in the translation of the Scripture down through the years. I have heard that, and I'm tired of listening to it. That is another ignorant statement is what that is. Do you understand that preservation does not depend on man? It depends on God. God gave us the promise of preservation in Psalm chapter 12 when he said he would preserve it from this generation forever. God told us he would preserve the word. And think about this. When God gave us the word in its original form, when he gave each one of those scripture writers their original autograph, do you realize he gave it to sinful men? Do you understand that reality and that truth? Not one person that wrote your Bible was a perfect man. Everyone was a sinner, but God gave his word to and through sinful men. Now, if he can give it to and through sinful men, don't you think he can preserve it through sinful men? Amen. Absolutely, he can. God has promised to preserve his word. We have it today. Thank the Lord. If you have a King James Bible, you got the word of God. You got it. Pure, preserved, it's powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible. It's so sharp, in fact, that the scripture says it will divide asunder both soul and spirit. And it says this Bible is so smart that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you know that means that every time you open this Bible, God knows why you're opening it? He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind. The Bible is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. There are a lot of people who open the Bible to read it and their intention is not good. They're not looking into the Scripture to see if they can find out the truth. They're looking to see if they can find somewhere that it contradicts, where there's a problem, where there's a flaw. Or a lot of people nowadays look in there to see if they can find something that supports the decision they've already made in their mind. They're not wanting God to give them his will and his direction. They've already made up their mind what they're going to do about whatever it is. And they're saying, look, I'm going to dig around in here till I find something that supports the decision I've already made. Amen. When your intention is that way, God knows it. He knows it. And I tell you what you have to be careful about. When your intention in reading the Bible is all messed up, you know what God will do sometimes? He'll just send you strong delusion that you'll believe a lie. Amen. He'll give you a scripture in there that you can twist all around and you'll think, hey, I finally got me a scripture here that supports what I've already decided I'm going to do. And you know what that is? Just strong delusion is what that is. God understands the intents and the thoughts of every heart. This is a powerful book. The Bible says all things are upheld by the word of its power. All things. It's a permanent seed. A permanent seed. It liveth and abideth for how long? It liveth and abideth forever. How long is the Bible going to be around? Forever. You know, whenever you kick the bucket, whenever that is, the Bible's still going to be here. God and his word didn't come into existence when you were born. It was around a long time before you showed up. And it's going to be around a long time after you've gone. It's permanent. It's a permanent seed. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It's a permanent seed. And I thank the Lord for this. It's a perfect seed. The law of the Lord is perfect. People ask me, do you really believe every word in the Bible is perfect? I really believe every word in the Bible is perfect. I really do. Get a lot of flack for that, but that's all right. That's all right. I don't understand why you'd want to read a book you didn't believe was perfect. I don't get that. I mean, what are we doing? All this coming to church and talking about Jesus and all. What are we doing if this Bible is not perfect? If there's any part of it that can't be trusted, if I can't put my soul on anything in this book, we are wasting our time. And the crazy thing is people will go along and they'll say, this verse is all right, but that one's messed up. This one's all right, and that one don't belong, and that one should have been better translated and all that. They just go through there and pick and choose, and they decide for themselves which one should be there, which one shouldn't be there. You know what that does? That sets them up as God is what that does. It's like I'm smarter than the Lord. Hey, God gave us this book here, but he shouldn't have said it like that, so I'm going to correct it for him where God can... he'll be right in what he says. Let me ask you this. Just right here in Mark chapter 4, you just pick out any verse right here. All right, Mark 4:14, we read that. All right, if that, just say that one verse isn't right. If there's something wrong with that, let me ask you this. How do you know it's right in John 3:16?
That's right.
How do you know?
That's good.
What I'm telling you is when you have a book that's got flaws, it can't be trusted. And if it can't be trusted in one place, it cannot be trusted in any place. I believe in the perfection of Scripture. What it says is what I believe. God said it, that settles it, and that's all that matters to me. Okay? I believe every word in it, every one. I've had people ask me, do you really believe that a whale swallowed Jonah? Yes, I believe that. Now, some people say, well, Jonah doesn't say a whale. It says a great fish. You know who did say it was a whale, though? Jesus Christ said it was a whale. So if you don't believe it, you don't believe Jesus. I mean, let's call it like it is this morning. But I tell you how much of a Bible believer I am. If it had said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that, too. That's just how much I believe the Word of God. I believe everything in it, and I give you my word. I give you my word. If you don't know now that I try to be a man of my word, I don't know what I'll do, but I give you my word. If there ever comes a day in my life where I believe there's something wrong with this Bible, I will give you my resignation. And I will get out of the ministry completely, and I'll find another job.
Amen.
If that ever happens. And I believe any man that stands in the pulpit and corrects the Bible needs to get out of the ministry and get a job. That's what I believe. He is a Bible-correcting buffoon is what he is. And he's setting himself up to be smarter than God, and he doesn't deserve a pulpit to preach anywhere.
Amen.
That's what I believe. And I'm not trying to be arrogant about it. I'm just telling you, that's where I stand, and that's what I believe.
Amen.
And I'll quit and get out if I ever think there's anything wrong with this Bible. Are there things I read here I don't understand? Yeah, absolutely. It'll be that way forever. You know why? Because God wrote the book, friend. God wrote the book. If I could understand everything that is in this book, that would mean that somebody no smarter than me wrote it.
Yeah.
You understand that? The fact that I can understand it just proves to me further the infallibility and inspiration of the Bible. That means we have an all-wise, all-knowing God that put a book together, and none of us will ever understand everything there is in this Bible.
Amen.
But I don't have to understand it all to believe it. There's a whole lot I don't understand. People say, well, that's just blind faith. Let me ask you this. Do you understand everything there is about your body? You live in a body, right? Can you tell me everything there is to know about your body? Nobody in here can. Nobody can. There's still things that doctors don't understand about the human body. I mean, people that have gone to school and got the education, there's still things about the human body they cannot explain to you. If you live a million years, you'll never be able to explain everything about your body, but I guarantee you, even though you can't explain it and you don't understand it, sitting where you do this morning, you believe you have a body.
Amen.
Don't you?
Yes, sir.
I believe I got more one than I want. Have had most of my life. What I'm trying to tell you, just because you can't understand it don't mean there's a problem with the book. The problem is with you.
Amen.
So many people approach the Bible, they read something they can't understand, and they immediately, well, there's a problem with the Bible. Why does it never cross their mind that the problem might be with them?
Amen.
That's what I don't understand. It has to be that they're just looking for a problem. I mean, it's amazing to me. They never think there's a problem with my understanding. It's always there's a problem with the Scripture. I read stuff almost every day of my life because I try my best to read my Bible every day, which is a good habit for a Christian to have, by the way. I read stuff every day I don't understand. I read that, and I mean, I talk honestly with the Lord. I'm as straight with him as I can be. I said, Lord, what is that? I don't understand that. And when I stand in a pulpit, I don't ever try to come across as like, I know everything. I'll tell you, if I don't know it, I'll just tell you, I don't know it. But just because I don't know it, don't understand it, doesn't mean it ain't right. Okay. Doesn't mean it ain't right. I did go to school several years ago. And I had math. Any of y'all have to sit through math? There was a whole bunch of that stuff I didn't understand. Right? You know where the problem was? The problem was with me. It wasn't that the math was messed up. But see, what we have done is we have created a generation of people who, if something is a little foreign or strange or they don't get it, it's never their fault. It's always somebody else's fault. So when they go to school and they hit math and all, and I'm dealing with one right now. He doesn't go to a public school, but he's got a real good teacher, by the way. A teacher that I'm in love with. Okay. But he don't like math, and he gets frustrated, all bent out of shape, belly aching about it, and all that kind of mess, you know. And he wants to make it the fault of math, you know. I don't understand why they make math this way and all that kind of stuff. Well, the fault's not with the math. The fault's with him. It's with him. And I must assume some responsibility myself for that because he's heard his daddy bellyache about math before, you know, and how he didn't like it when he was in school. There's a lot about that stuff I didn't understand. A lot I still don't understand, and what I see is that they're even changing math from how it was when I went in school, so it's a completely different thing. I really don't understand all that, okay? But the problem's not with the math. The problem's with me. When I read the Bible and there's something I don't understand, I don't say, well, good gracious, God messed up right there. I read the Bible and I say, Lord, I esteem your words concerning all things to be right. And I don't understand this, but I don't believe for one second there's a problem with your book. I believe the problem's with me. And what I ask you to do right now, Lord, is to please open my eyes and give me understanding so that I can understand your word. That's what I do. That is the approach and the mindset that every Christian should have. Because, folks, we got a pure book. We got a pure seed this morning. We got a preserved seed. We got a powerful seed. We got a permanent seed. We have a perfect seed. And this is what you've got to have if you're going to have a harvest. And let me show you this. Hold your place right here. Hold your place right here and go to the book of 1 Peter. We're talking about the seed of God's word. You got to have a sower, but you got to have seed. Doesn't the scripture say that faith cometh by hearing? Isn't that what it says? But it's not just hearing anything, right? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to have a seed. You got to have the pure seed, the perfect seed of God's word if you're going to have a harvest. That's why you don't need to waste your time spreading corrupt seed. It's just a waste of time. It does nobody any good when you spread corrupt seed. You spread the pure, true seed of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at what it says in verse number 23. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Being born again. Isn't that what Jesus said every person has to do if they're going to go to heaven? Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must be born again, right? That's what Jesus said. Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. People do not get born again by corruptible seed. They get born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. Look at what it says. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He says this incorruptible seed, it's preached to you by the gospel. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what I'm to do? Take the incorruptible seed of God's word, the pure, unadulterated word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I'm to sow and spread as a seed spreader. I'm going to end with this. Some of you in here that have planted gardens, done some farming, just say planted a food plot for a deer. If you have ever put bad seed in the ground, and if you've ever done much farming or gardening, I'm sure at some point in time in your life you've come across some bad seed. When you put it in the ground, do you get a harvest off of it? If there's something wrong with the seed, you don't get a harvest, do you? I was talking to a gentleman not too awful long ago, and he said last year, him and another man went and bought a whole bunch of seed. I mean a whole bunch of seed for their food plots. They got it in bulk, you know, saved a lot of money. They thought they did anyway. Whole bunch of seed. They planted every food plot they had, and bunches of them. I'm talking about bunches of food plots. They went around and spread that seed over every food plot they had. Not one of them came up. Not one. The problem wasn't with them. They spread the seed out just like they always had. The problem was with the seed. They got some bad seed. I'm telling you, folks, there's some bad seed in this world today. And you're not going to get a good harvest if you spend your time, waste your time spreading that kind of seed. And here's the thing about it. You can go to a store and you can buy a bag of seed. Say you don't get it in bulk, you get a bag. Man, they got some nice looking bags now that seed come in. Some of them on the other side got a bullseye where when you get through using that seed or that fertilizer, whatever it is, you can take it out there and shoot it, use it for a target. Y'all seen what I'm talking about, haven't you? I mean, they fancying stuff up now. But then you break open that bag, get that seed. Sometimes what's on the inside's messed up. You can go to a Christian bookstore anywhere you want to. You can get you some nice leather-bound ones. You know what I'm saying? Pretty nice-looking stuff on the outside. Spend you a lot of money for it. But what's on the inside is corruptible seed. It's messed up. I'm not going to waste 1 second. My life is too short. My life's, I'm on the downhill slide, you understand? I don't have time to waste spreading corruptible seed. I'm going to spread the incorruptible seed of God's word. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today again, thankful for this opportunity to be here. Thankful, Lord, that we have your word, that you've given it to us, you've preserved it for us, that it's perfect without contradiction, without error, that it's powerful, that it can change a heart, save a soul. Lord, I thank you that it can break chains of bondage. Lord, I thank you for what it means to me, what it's done in my life through the years, how it's held me up and gave me a foundation to stand on, support when everything was crumbling around me. I thank you, Lord. I praise you today for your word that you have exalted above all your name. And I pray, Lord, that you would give each one of us in here a greater appreciation for the word that you've given to us, Lord. Help us to love it. Help us to read it, to study it, to commit it to memory. Lord, most of all, give us the grace to live it. Help us as we go out now to take your word, your pure word, your true word, your incorruptible seed, and spread it into the hearts of the people that are in this world. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.